A lot of people have a bit of a hard time with this gospel passage. And I get it. It's, you know, Jesus seems indifferent or even contemptuous of this Canaanite woman who's pleading with him to save her daughter. And a lot of biblical scholars have a hard time with it too. For centuries, they've been trying to rationalize and explain away Jesus's attitude, and it's a tough one. And when I'm confronted with these dilemmas in scripture, I try and go back to the fundamentals. Jesus taught us that God is our Father, that I am his son, that you are his son or daughter. And so I try and think of it in terms of that relationship. I'm his child. You know, what is this? Try and look at it through the eyes, you know, as if we were children. And what comes to mind is this, you know, things when I was a little kid, you know, my mother would make a cake or brownies or something like that, and my brother and I would fight over who would get to lick the spoon. You know, you want that cake batter or you know, the little thingamajiggies for the mixer there, what are they, those things called? Well, anyway, you lick those things like a popsicle, you're like, and then, you know, even scraping the inside of the bowl, I would help out in order to be, whoever helped out at my house, the rule was, if you helped out, then you got to lick the spoon and the bowl and everything like that. And as you can tell, I helped out an awful lot. And one time I was talking with someone, and we were reminiscing about those types of moments, and this person said that the rule in their house is that if their mother was making a cake for a birthday or some other occasion, then the person whose birthday it was got to lick the spoon, the beaters, that's what they're called. They'll lick the spoon, the beaters, and even the bowl as sort of a pre-birthday treat. And no amount of pleading or pouting or puppy dog eyes or whatever else was going to get you to get to lick that spoon. Only the person whose birthday it was. But does this mean that on birthdays, that mother only loved the child having the birthday? Or that she loved that child more than her other children because they are the ones who got to lick the spoon? Just because she said no doesn't mean that her other children weren't loved, or that their mother wanted to make the other kids feel slighted or ignored. Nor did it mean that at the end of the day, they weren't going to get a piece of birthday cake. Everybody was getting a piece of birthday cake. But on that special day, at that moment, the tradition, the order of things in that house was that only the birthday child got to lick the spoon ahead of time. That was the rule, and they stuck to it. We're all God's children. We're all his beloved sons and daughters. And God has been unfolding his plan for your salvation, for my salvation, ever since we as human beings disobeyed him. Ever since Adam and Eve decided they are going to do things their own way, that they weren't going to listen to the Father. That plan that God has is what we call salvation history. God has a plan and an order to things. Do I know fully what that plan, what that order is? No, not fully. Just like as a child, I didn't know all of what my parents were thinking or working towards when I was a little boy. But I trusted that they knew best because I knew that they loved me. And I trusted them because of that. And I know that God loves me. And so I trust in his plan for me and his plan for the world. And I know that God's plan is being worked out day after day. I know that he chose to reveal himself to Abraham, our father in faith. He's called that because he was the first one to hear God calling him. Maybe God had tried with a whole bunch of other people who all said no, but Abraham said yes. And so God uses Abraham to found a people who worship only the Lord. And these people become the Jewish people. And I do know that even though that people often strayed and turned away from God, God kept calling them back. He had a plan to use them for the salvation of the world. And he kept calling them back into that plan, into that relationship. There is no earthly reason why this little tribe of nomadic people should survive being conquered by empire after empire when no other culture has. You know, in the gospel today, it's a Canaanite woman. Do you know any Canaanites today? No. But the Jewish people who were enslaved, exiled, conquered, suffered all sorts of calamities, including the Holocaust, and yet they still are here. They are still part of God's plan for salvation. When all the tribes that conquered them, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, none of them survived. That shows me that once God makes a covenant, makes a promise, he never breaks it. Once people say yes to his plan for salvation, he will call them back into it time after time after time. And God was preparing the road to fulfill the promise he made that salvation should come from the Jewish people. Not salvation for the Jewish people. That's what some people got confused about in Jesus' time. But salvation from the Jewish people. Jesus is that salvation. And just like my mother, or just like that mother baking the birthday cake, this doesn't mean that God didn't or doesn't love all people, or that others should feel slighted or ignored. It means that God has a plan, and it means that God's ways are not our ways. And however amazing God seems to be at work in some people's lives, he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your salvation. He has a plan for the salvation of the world. And so the amazing thing about the gospel passage is not that Jesus seems to be rude to this Canaanite woman. It's that God allows that plan, in a sense, to be interrupted. Interrupted by this Canaanite woman who's somehow different. This is the only person who's in Scripture who seemingly gets the best of Jesus, who seemingly one-ups him. You know, none of the Pharisees or the scribes, the Sadducees, all these educated people, the high priests, even Pontius Pilate, they're trying to trap Jesus. They try and question him. They try and back him into a corner, and they're never able to. But the fact is, unlike all those others, unlike the Pharisees who tried to trap Jesus out of jealousy, this woman, her motivations are selfless. Motivations are to worship God. She searches for a way to keep Jesus engaged in a conversation by introducing this great comeback line. Even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters. She's not trying to test Jesus, to try him, to threaten him. She simply wants her daughter healed. And the longer she can keep Jesus engaged in conversation, the more of a chance she feels that she will get what she asks for. And in the end, this is what happens. Because of her persistence, her selflessness, her cleverness, that's what Jesus ultimately responds to. She recognizes his divine power. She asks for his mercy. She requests his help, and she stays engaged with him. She's persistent. If today any one of you has felt that waning relationship, has felt that you are far away from God, that you've stopped praying, that if your prayer life, your relationship with God needs a jump start, if you haven't stayed engaged with that relationship that God wants with you, I think the gospel today is a great reminder of the importance and necessity of a prayerful relationship with the Father and with his Son who died for you. And I think it goes back to what I was talking about as a child. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that he is madly in love with you? So incredibly madly in love with you that he asked his Son, Jesus, to give up his life for you. If so, if you believe that, then trust him. Trust in Jesus, trust in the Father. Trust that he is unfolding his plan for you. That you saying yes to it is part of God's plan for the salvation of the world. I don't know how that plan will unfold, but God does have a plan for salvation. Remember what God says in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. God's ways, they're not my ways. They are so far above me that I cannot comprehend all of the ways that he is at work in my life. But I trust him. I know that he loves me. And I trust that his plan for me, as it said in that opening prayer, is beyond my imagination. But like it was with as a little boy with my parents, I know he loves me, and I trust that he wants my good, that he wants what's best for me. I trust God's love for me. I trust in his love for you. I trust that he has a plan for your salvation. I trust that you saying yes to that plan will help the salvation of the world. You have a role to play in the salvation of the world. It starts with understanding that God loves you and placing your trust in him.